Hi, David Emery here. This is For the Record, program number 1379. Team Trump Takes the Field, part 5. This is being recorded on May 2nd of the year 2025. And we are truly in the kind of society that I had seen coming decades ago. I was hoping, I guess, in my fondest of hopes that I could help prevent it, but what the heck, here we are. The future has arrived, and in that context, I can't encourage people strongly enough to get the 64 gigabyte flash drive with all of my life's printed and recorded work, a mini library of old anti-fascist books on easy to download PDF files, and the brilliant contributions of many people, including Tara Fractal, our brilliant contributing editor, whose work will be front and center in the program, well, really the next couple of programs, this one and ones to come. To make an extremely long story very short, I don't think we're going to make it, folks. I think a third world war is intended, specifically in Asia, and if one isn't intended, one may happen anyway, one way or another. I don't think we're going to make it, and things are truly heading toward an apocalyptic event, and that's going to be the focal point of the program this evening, or today. Again, there is a link on the SpitfireList.com website that will enable you to get the 64 gigabyte flash drive for a nominal tax-deductible contribution. I get no money whatsoever from this. This is perhaps proof positive that my worst critics are right and that I am nuts, and that this is pretty much my life's work, and I get no money from it. But again, I don't think we're going to make it, and I think as sentient beings, we have a responsibility to preserve the record of what happened for those who come after us. And when your grandchildren are asking you, well, gee whiz, how can we live in a rusted Chevy sport van? And you know, what was Chevy anyway? And how come I have to go out every day and battle former Army Rangers for rat-killing trip? I mean, has it always been this way? And you can tell them, no, it hasn't always been this way, but this is what happened. And they will have seen pictures, but unfortunately, things are not going well. That is the best I can do. So please get that. Again, I get no money from that. And that will enable you to preserve a record of what happened. And what happened is what is happening, and it ain't good at all. That having been said, there is way too much going on for me to possibly cover in these one-hour programs. The brilliant comments that are made by our contributing editor, Tara Fractal, are a source of information you should be using. And beyond that, the printed descriptions for programs, the articles I've written, I'm doing a Patreon platform. And when the pandemic struck, I did 3 overlapping series of programs over a couple of years, BioPsyop Apocalypse Now, morphing into the Oswald Institute of Virology, and in turn that morphed into Pandemics Incorporated. I have condensed the findings in those series into a series of articles available on the Patreon platform. Again, I do 3 weekly talks, bi-weekly Zoom talks, writing articles, there are guest appearances by other brilliant researchers, and those are one way I'm communicating information. Also, I am approaching now the beginning of my 47th year on the air, and increasingly it is difficult to talk about what is going on without filling people in to an extent about what has happened. And as we take a look at what Team Trump is doing, I am having a difficult time processing the public hearings that are being made concerning the release of documents in the JFK assassination, the RFK assassination, the Martin Luther King assassination, and those in turn are being downloaded as part of I won't use the term that comes to mind because it wouldn't be FCC acceptable, but Representative Anna Paulina Luna of Florida, a big Trump person, a person who thinks Donald Trump belongs on Mount Rushmore, is presiding over that, and it's not just the JFK assassination, the RFK assassination, the MLK assassination, but it is 9/11, where we've seen the controlled demolition of stuff being floated by Republican members of Congress. That is pure BS. And that is also being mixed in with investigations into UFOs and Jeffrey Epstein and other things. And I had feared when I saw that presentation that ultimately this would lead to a degree of not only intellectual corruption, but also propagandizing in a fascist way. And I'm seeing signs that things are unfortunately moving in the direction I have seen. To make an extremely long story very short, for a long time, Holocaust deniers have hovered around the edge of the JFK assassination investigation, because once one comes to realize that, in fact, Lee Harvey Oswald didn't act at all. He not only didn't act alone, he didn't act at all. Lee Harvey Oswald didn't shoot a gun on November 22nd, 1963, and James Earl Ray did not kill Martin Luther King. Saran did not kill Robert Kennedy Sr. And in fact, when you study our assassinations, among the really important things that you come across is mind control. That is, I think, as important a development as the splitting of the atom. One could not exaggerate the importance of the success of mind control. I did 3 AFA shows, 5, 6, and 7 about that. And someone who is figuring in the hallelujahs that are being sounded by the JFK assassination investigation community for not only Anna Paulina Luna, but also for Tulsi Gabbard, who is a member of the Hare Krishna cult. It's a fascist, mind-control cult. And yet, it's just, you know, sooner or later, you've got to get off a grassy knoll. And it's amazing to me that the JFK assassination community really has not come to terms with that. Jack Ruby was under mind control. Louis Jolyon West probably was one of the people who placed him under it. And Saran did not kill Robert Kennedy. He was a mind control job, a victim of the various overlapping mind control programs. And yet, when you have a member of a mind control cult, and Tulsi Gabbard is, figuring into this and assuming the hallelujahs and the hosannas of the JFK assassination community, it's a shame, I think. It is stunning and, frankly, to me, grotesque. But back to the subject, once one when someone comes to realize that, in fact, Lee Harvey Oswald didn't act at all, let alone act alone. James Earl Ray did not kill Martin Luther King. And Saran Saran did not kill Robert F. Kennedy Sr. It leaves one in a relativistic intellectual universe. People could begin wondering, well, maybe the Holocaust didn't happen. And that's why they're hanging in that whole thing. Plus, I have been worried for a long time of the growth of the notion that, yes, we've been visited by aliens, space aliens, and that's what the flying, quote, flying saucers, unquote, or, quote, UFOs, unquote, are, and that aliens have bequeathed their technology to us. We are off to the races, and I see signs in the general environment of the, quote, investigation, unquote, into the assassinations of the two Kennedy brothers and Martin Luther King that are going to lead to, yes, we've been visited by aliens, and they've given us our technology. And as things disintegrate, I've been worried for a long, long time that as the economy disintegrates, and if you don't think that's going to happen, stay tuned. As the environment disintegrates, as people find themselves in the state of affairs I highlighted at the beginning of the program, as they are desperate and they are sick and their diseases, both genetically engineered and deliberately created and spread, and things that are just going to catch fire and spread, as Brainworm Bobby is now heading up Health and Human Services. It is absolutely wild to see this. Oh, and yes, and we've got Dr. Oz in charge of Medicare and Medicaid. Yikes, says Dave. But as people are desperate and they don't know what to do, they have no money, they're sick, everybody's dying around them. And then suddenly, up in the sky, someone says, look, up in the sky, what's that? It's a bird, it's a plane, it's space aliens from Uranus. And I think our brothers from space, and this I went into this in both lecture in a couple of lectures that I'm going to break down into programs, to make a very, very long story, very, very short, quote, flying saucers, unquote, or, quote, UFOs, unquote, are real. But they don't come from outer space, and they weren't made by space aliens. Again, a very long story and a very short. Radar sends out a concentrated beam of electrons, and when those electrons encounter a right angle, right angles don't exist in nature, that's what creates a contact. That's what creates a pingback. For that reason, from a very early stage, even before the actual beginnings of, well, from the beginning of the invention of radar, a priority in aeronautical R&D was to develop aircraft that did not feature right angles in the configuration of the airframe. Well, obviously, a disc-shaped airframe is an ideal way to avoid right angles. If you see a file photo of the B-2 bomber, if you're looking straight on, it looks very much like the popular conception of a UFO or a flying saucer. You have seen Frisbees, right? A Frisbee is a disc-shaped airfoil, and when the motive force of one's hand is applied to it, it flies, doesn't it? If the Wham-O Corporation can make a flying disc-shaped airfoil, and if aeronautical R&D from the beginnings of World War II, maybe even a little before, were devoted to developing aircraft that avoided right angles in the configuration of the airframe, add two and two, folks, quote, flying saucers, unquote, or, quote, UFOs, unquote, are real. They don't come from outer space, and there are no bleeping space aliens. When you look at the accounts of, quote, contacts of the third kind, right? An advanced civilization isn't going to spend years flying through space at 186,000 miles per second, the speed of light, in order to play tag with a couple of good old boys fishing off a dock in Pascagoula, Mississippi. The quote, contacts, unquote, look like nothing so much as someone playing Psy war games. And that is what they are. I think, however, one should bear in mind that the nine, unquote, you take a look at the so-called New Age, and one could not exaggerate the role of Nazis and fascists in that. One of the epicenters of the so-called New Age is the Institute for Noetic Sciences, co-founded by Wernher von Braun, the SS officer who headed up the U.S. space program. The nine of the, supposedly, you name it, the ancient gods of Egypt, the ancestors of all humanity. But again, they're nine supreme beings. They're tall, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, fair-skinned space aliens, right? And they're the ancestors of everybody, except, of course, for black people. And I am very much seeing the signs that sooner or later, maybe sooner, much sooner than I ever thought, the UFO op is underway, or will be underway a lot sooner than I thought. And as things collapse, the economy and everything else, God knows what's going to happen, then down will come our brothers from space. But we will be talking in the next several programs not only about the fallout from the mixing of JFK, RFK, and MLK assassination investigations with UFOs, with 9/11, with Jeffrey Epstein, with all kinds of stuff that really should be looked at entirely separately. I think we are going to see that, yep, we've been visited by space aliens and they've given us all this technology. And then when the, quote, aliens, unquote, come down and an ignorant, beset public goes, oh, gosh, they're going to save us. And just remember when, quote, our brothers from space show up, they ain't from space. And they sure as bleeping hell ain't your brothers, okay? But anyway, that's what we will be focusing on. It's just, to make an extremely long story very short, Ms. Emma Paulina Luna, someone who, for whatever reason, has misled about her background. She has maintained publicly that she is a Messianic Jew, and yet her relatives say, no, she was raised in the Roman Catholic religion, and her grandfather is a veteran of the, was, he passed away now, but a veteran of the Wehrmacht, which of course raises a question. Was he involved in the Eastern Front, which apparently he was, and did he participate in the Einsatzgruppen, and is he part of the, affiliated with the Gehlen Org, which absorbed the Einsatzgruppen, and in turn was absorbed by the CIA? I don't know. The milieu of Messianic Jews, as I indicated, is a dicey one. The idea is that they have accepted Jesus as their Savior. When, according to the end times Christians, when Jesus comes back, Jews will either convert to Christianity or they will be exterminated. And it's a great cover for Nazis who want to see Jews exterminated. And also one will encounter the sort of ephemeral creatures one would expect to see on the landscape of charismatic religion. But again, whatever the reason, Anna Paulina Luna has misled about her background, and she has tweeted in enthusiastic endorsement of an absolute BS presentation that has worked its way into the Daily Mail of the UK. The Daily Mail is a Rupert Murdoch-owned paper. They have some good articles in it. It shouldn't be entirely dismissed, but it also has a lot of propaganda. And as we will see, as Terra Fractal has brilliantly researched for us, these two articles are talking about, yes, they're huge hidden chambers beneath the Great Pyramids of Egypt. Elon Musk has weighed in that the pyramids were built by space aliens, and some people even said, yep, the Great Pyramids and energy generating, this, that, and the other thing. This will track back into the very worst of the ancient astronauts, Eric von Daniken. Yes, we've been visited by our brothers in space, and they built the pyramids, and they've done all kinds of other things, and isn't this wonderful? They gave us our technology. It's just ridiculous. The notion that, we've been able to hijack or someone, humans have hijacked alien technology to do things. As someone pointed out, that's like the notion that if you buy a brand new Lamborghini and you're driving west and it breaks down outside of, say, Salt Lake City or Las Vegas, and you go to the nearest town to get a tow truck, and you come back and you find that your Lamborghini has been hijacked by an ant colony. it's absolutely beyond the pale. Some of the so-called UFOs, who knows what, World War II was a long time ago, but the original, quote, flying saucers, unquote, appeared late in World War II. It's because, again, radar uses right, it detects right angles, and so building aircraft that wouldn't have right angles in them was a priority item. And again, you've seen Frisbees. If the Ramo Corporation can make a flying disc-shaped airfoil, then our national security establishment and aerospace industry can sure as bloody bleepin' hell do that. So they're real people. They don't come from outer space. They're no space aliens. But watch out for this okey-doke. But I'm seeing the JFK assassination community falling like chopped timber for this okey-doke, and they're lobbing Tulsi Gabbard, a member of the Hare Krishna cult, and she also is, as the Indian press put it, the Sangs mascot in the U.S. More about Tulsi Gabbard in a second, but As the administrative state that we have all taken, or most people have taken for granted, is being systematically dismantled, I want to take a look at something. I noted that when Brainworm Bobby, Harvey F. Kennedy Jr., was running for president, not only was his candidacy bankrolled by Timothy Mellon, a member of the Mellon family, also the largest bankroller of Donald Trump's campaign. But his campaign was being managed by his daughter-in-law, the quote, ex-unquote CIA officer, Amaryllis Fox Kennedy. Amaryllis Fox Kennedy, as we looked at in miscellaneous articles and updates, was very close to Tulsi Gabbard, had known her well for quite some time. But let's take a look at Amaryllis Fox Kennedy from her Wikipedia entry. Amaryllis Fox Kennedy is an American former Central Intelligence Agency officer and writer, serving since 2025 as the Associate Director for Intelligence and International Affairs at the Office of Management and Budget, or OMB, and as a member of Donald Trump's Intelligence Advisory Board. It is difficult to imagine that as the Associate Director for Intelligence and International Affairs at the Office of Management and Budget, she is not interfacing, probably she is interfacing in a very significant way, with Doge, with Elon Musk. And so as you watch, as we watch, everything we've taken for granted being flushed down the fiscal toilet, so to speak, it's difficult to imagine that Amaryllis Fox Kennedy is not helping Elon Musk with that. And she's a member of Donald Trump's Intelligence Advisory Board. It's amazing to me that people can't add two and two and come up with four. But then, you know, in a country where 54% of the people read at a fifth grade level or lower, and with a controlled media, I suppose that's not all that surprising. But when you have Tulsi Gabbard, again, a member of the Hare Krishna cult, a fascist mind control cult, when you have her as the deputy, as the number two person at the Democratic National Committee, being booed about as Bernie Sanders' prospective vice presidential candidate, had he gotten under the nomination, and when she resigned so she can campaign for Bernie Sanders, and when, that was in 2016, when in 2024 she is campaigning for Donald Trump, and then becomes Donald Trump's Director of National Intelligence. What does that tell you? Who might have been the person who leaked information to WikiLeaks and to Roger Stone et al.? Gosh, I don't know. Gee, I'm being facetious. It's difficult, you know, obviously, having someone like Tulsi Gabbard there would be ideal. Again, she talks about having left the Democratic Party. I don't think she was ever really a member of it. I think she was a mole, and she may not realize that. That's the important part, one of the important parts of mind control. Saran could not remember what happened in the pantry. He was under mind control, and he didn't kill anybody. He didn't shoot Robert F. Kennedy Sr. And now we've got Robert Jr. Oh, boy. I mean, the things that are going to take place are just beyond belief. But one of the things I pointed out talking about Tulsi Gabbard is that she is, as the Indian press put it, the SANG's mascot in the U.S. The SANG being the RSS. I'm not going to embarrass myself by trying the Indian pronunciation, but the RSS is a Hindutva fascist organization modeled on Mussolini's black shirts. And it was the organization that assassinated Mahatma Gandhi. I went into that in a long series of For the Record programs, 88 through 892, and subsequent updates. And Tulsi Gabbard is cited in the Indian press as, quote, the SANG's mascot in the U.S., the SANG, S-A-N-G-H, being their journalistic shorthand for the RSS. She was very much involved with arranging the details of Narendra Modi's visits to the United States. And Narendra Modi's BJP is a political cat's paw for the RSS. And bearing that in mind, political assassination is one of the hallmarks of the rise of fascism, and it's true in the U.S. And it's true, it's been true throughout history. And when Narendra Modi came to power in 2014 in India, you saw someone whose affiliation was with the people that assassinated Mahatma Gandhi. A wonderful book was written about that called Gandhi and the Unspeakable by James Douglas, who also wrote a wonderful book about the JFK assassination called JFK and the Unspeakable. And Tulsi Gabbard has been seen with that book, and that has been viewed ecstatically by members of the JFK assassination community. However, it does not seem that Tulsi Gabbard has added two and two and come up with four. She is still enthusiastically supporting and Narendra Modi, from the Indian, I'll put the link in, this is from the, an Indian paper, I will put the link in the written description for the, these programs. This is from a story by Abhishek, A-B-H-I-S-H-E-K, Chakraborty, C-H-A-K-R-A-B-O-R-T-Y, from World News, from April 25th of 2025. With you as you hunt down U.S. spy chief to PM Modi on Kashmir attack. By the way, Kashmir was the sign, the scene of a bloody terrorist incident ostensibly committed by Islamists. Who knows who may have been directing them. But the situation in India is basically rather typical of fascist manifestation. Fascists invariably point to the other, the demonized other, as the source of all problems. And in India, the demonized other is the Muslim population of India, which is very large. Gandhi had sought to reconcile Indian Muslims and Hindus, and that was one of the reasons he was killed by the Hindu, the fascists. But here's what Ms. Wonderful Tulsi Gabbard is saying. The U.S. spy chief extended Washington's full support to New Delhi and told Prime Minister Modi that, quote, we are with you and support you as you hunt down those responsible for this heinous attack, unquote. As you know, as you should know, both India and Pakistan are nuclear powers. This is not good. And then from the Indian punchline, that's put out a brilliant blog by M.K. Babakumar, a former Indian diplomat. India should tread warily on battlefield. Indian punchline. This is from April 30th of this year. Again, the link will be in the written description. Later in the evening yesterday, Modi also received RSS Chief Mohan Bhagwat, B-H-A-G-W-A-T, at his residence in a gesture, quote, emphasizing national interest over protocol, unquote, as a national daily noted. However, there should be no misconceptions over how Bhagwat's mind is working. 5 days back, he had remarked, quote, we hope for a strong response to Falgun attack, that is, to the Kashmir attack. Not connecting the dots. And again, Tulsi Gabbard is networking with Anna Paulina Luna, who has tweeted out her enthusiastic endorsement for a really heinous BS thing that I think the UFO op is going to be happening sooner than I would have thought. And I'm going to pick a look at Terra Fractal's characteristically brilliant presentation. We won't have anywhere near enough time in this program to go into it. But I'm going to begin with Terra Fractal's breaking down of... This is introduction to this, reads, did you hear the incredible news, earth-shattering news, or rather, history-shattering news? A pair of researchers has uncovered evidence of a vast underground city beneath the pyramids of Giza, a previously undiscovered subterranean complex that is many times deeper than the height of the pyramids. So vast that it has observers pointing to the discovery as powerful evidence of a civilization with advanced capabilities that has been lost to history, or even aliens. It's that significant a discovery, or at least it would have been that significant a discovery had it been based on verifiable scientific methods and withstood peer review. Instead, as we're going to see, the study is based on claims that experts say simply aren't feasible given the technology used by the two researchers to map out the underground structures. The two researchers, Corrado Malanga, M-A-L-A-N-G-A, from Italy's University of Pisa, and Filippo Biondi, B-I-O-N-B-I, with the University of Strathclyde in Scotland, have already published a separate peer-reviewed paper in October of 2022 in the scientific journal Remote Sensing, which found hidden runes and ramps beneath the Khafre pyramid, Khafre by the way, capital K-H-A-F-R-E. But this latest non-peer-reviewed paper purports to reveal underground structures on a much larger scale. Malanga is a ufologist and has appeared on YouTube shows about aliens. Biondi is a specialist in radar technology. Should know better, frankly. According to Professor Lawrence Conyers, C-O-N-Y-E-R-S, a radar expert at the University of Denver who focuses on archaeology, any claims based on the radar technology they use are, quote, a huge exaggeration, unquote, since it's not possible for the technology to penetrate as deeply into the ground to back up the claims they are making. And yet, as we're going to see, the reporting on these, quote, findings, unquote, includes breathless reports in the Daily Mail with quotes from, quote, experts, unquote, about the whole history of Egyptian history has been rewritten, and evidence of advanced pre-flood civilizations is about to be revealed. Or maybe it's evidence of an alien origin for the pyramids. Perhaps the pyramids really are ancient power plants. Yep, that's the spin this story has been getting from the Daily Mail, including quotes from Joe Rogan about how, quote, mind-blowing, unquote, the development this all is, or quotes from, quote, researcher Jay Anderson, unquote, who has concluded that, quote, the pyramid itself is already a massive red flag in the ancient Egyptian historical narrative, but now with this discovery, I think it's impossible to say that the Egyptians we've been taught about built these structures. It provides the most extraordinary evidence for a pre-flood era civilization that was flourishing in a way that we can scarcely comprehend, unquote. Yikes, says Dave. A very long story made very short. With regard to the pyramids, ancient people were very innovative. They didn't understand that much. The pyramids were made basically, what the Egyptian people were able to drill into the stone that they were going to break into blocks. They then inserted dowels, which Fletchers can whiffle dowels to a very fine, very effectively. Then dowels were matched to the circumference of the holes drilled into the rock, were inserted into the rock, and then water was poured on the dowels that were inserted into the rock. And of course, as the dowels became waterlogged, they expanded. And they expanded, and then they broke the rock into blocks. That's how they did it. This has been an advanced civilization. I remember reading in the Rolling Stone magazine, probably 50 years ago, and it was, you know, sort of tongue-in-cheek stuff, but Ken Kesey and the Merry Pranksters, and I think Ken Kesey of Merry Pranksters fame, and that all goes back to MK Ultra and the use of LSD, but they went to Egypt to look for the hidden chambers beneath the Great Pyramids, and the whole thing was, you know, BS, basically, but there was, I think the Grateful Dead may have been there to have a concert at the Great Pyramids, but anyway, this is such horror. But anyway, now that this is being dealt with, you know, when Elon Musk was saying, yep, the pyramids were produced by aliens. More about that later. Continuing with Terrafractal's analysis. It's also rather notable that of the two Daily Mail articles below on this story, it's only the article from March 22nd that even mentions the fact that the study has not been peer-reviewed and has already been debunked by experts. One more time. It's also notable that of the two Daily Mail articles below on this story, it's only the article from March 22nd that even mentions the fact that the study hasn't been peer-reviewed and has already been debunked by experts. The Daily Mail piece from March 30th makes no mention, but instead runs with the headline, quote, were the pyramids built by aliens? Inside the bizarre conspiracy theory, quote, backed, unquote, by Elon Musk, after experts make astonishing discovery, unquote. I wonder if Amaryllis Fox and Tulsi Gabbard might be somewhere in this next. Continuing. Of course, as we've seen, not only has Elon Musk promoted the aliens built the pyramids meme, But his maternal grandfather, we spoke about him in Team Trump Takes the Field Part 3, but his maternal grandfather was utterly obsessed with discovering, quote, lost cities, unquote, in southern Africa that would prove the existences of advanced non-black civilizations. The mainstreaming of the, quote, lost civilization alien astronaut narratives continues. And by the way, as we're going to see, among the ancient civilizations, you know, far in advancement that were brought down by the lower forms of life, of human life that did that, the same thing is happening with regard to Native Americans. Andrew Jackson, who precipitated the Trail of Tears, dislocation or relocation of Native Americans, was a big advocate that once upon a time North America was occupied by a superior civilization, but the lower Asiatic Indians, as they called them then, came in and ruined everything, blah, 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 blah. That is a common theme. And by the way, that same, basically the racism directed toward Native Americans figured prominently in Adolf Hitler's ideology. He drew on the works of a popular writer named Karl May, last name M-A-Y, who wrote books about the American West. And Hitler opined that the extermination of the Native Americans by the white North Americans was his model for what he planned to do. And indeed, Andrew Jackson, who was one of the people being cited by Team Trump, bear this in mind, yep, he was a big advocate of once upon a time North America was occupied by superior civilizations, but then these lowly, quote, Indians, unquote, came in and ruined everything. In, for the record, 891, where I unload some of the ideology of Guru Prabhupada, the guru of the Hare Krishna cult, he too talks about the inferior civilization that occupied North America. How come the inferior Indians, as he called them, could not develop North America? Why did it have to be the Aryan white people? So this ideology figures into the background, or maybe the foreground, of the mind-control cult to which Tulsi Gabbard belongs. And again, I talk about that in 891. Maybe we'll excerpt that later in this series. But this is something that figures prominently in the ideology that is coming to pass. And I think ultimately the whole UFO, yep, our brothers in space, they visited us, they gave us a technology that not only is going to reinforce, yep, our brothers in space are real, and then when they come down, oh, everybody bow down to the benign, the tall, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, fair-skinned space aliens from whom we're all evolved except for black folks. And by the way, Michael Payne was really into the nine, but, you know, yikes. Continuing here with Terrafractal's commentary. But as we're going to be reminded, of in the following 2018 Southern Poverty Law Center piece, the mainstreaming of the, quote, lost civilization alien astronaut narratives is hardly new. It's been going on for decades, centuries, if you factor in the reality that the notion of a lost white civilization that predated the Native Americans on North America was a widely held view from the colonial era until the 20th century. In fact, when President Andrew Jackson, one of Trump's role models, was justifying the ethnic cleansing and forced relocation of Native tribes, he cited the mythological extermination of this alleged ancient Aryan tribe at the hands of Native Americans as a kind of historical precedent for his action. Narratives wholly embraced by the Nazis' anti-Enlightenment myths and continued percolating through the culture for decades. Flash forward to the 2000s, and we find outlets like the History Channel routinely platforming lost civilization, unquote, and, quote, ancient alien, unquote, narratives. Narratives still going strong today, thanks in large part to their now routine media mainstreaming that has been going on for decades. And the Southern Poverty Law Center article begins, and we'll have to continue this on our next program. It is from January 2nd. This is from the Hate Watch newsletter from January 2nd of 2018 by Alexander Zaitchik, with a couple Z-A-I-T-C-H-I-K. Close Encounters of the Racist Kind. The subtitle, The Modern Far Right is Crisscrossed with Pseudoscientific Research into Lost Aryan Super Civilizations, Biblical Giants, Ancient Astronauts, and the Occasional Interdimensional Alien. By the way, one of the, quote, UFO, unquote, sightings, apparently some Navy pilots saw a UFO where it was reversing very quickly, whatever it was, and, you know, certainly it had to have been operated remotely. Humans could not have withstood those forces. But, you know, as otherworldly as it seemed, I looked at that and it reminded me of nothing so much as the armature on an electric motor. And I wonder if it might, in fact, incorporate some aspects of that technology, perhaps using the Earth's magnetic field itself to, in a way, to perform those rapid gyrations. Anyway, just pure speculation. But again, wow, this must come from outer space. Not necessarily. And the pyramids, sure, bloody hell didn't. But anyway, Close Encounters of the Racist Kind by Alexander Zaitchik. The modern far right is crisscrossed with pseudoscientific research into lost Aryan civilizations, biblical giants, ancient astronauts, and the occasional interdimensional alien. And the article reads, on December 6, 1830, Andrew Jackson used his second State of the Union address to defend the Indian Removal Act, the administration's sole legislative victory. He described the law promulgating the expulsion and resettlement of southeastern Native American tribes as the, quote, happy consummation, unquote, of U.S. Indian policy. To his critics who, quote, wept over the fate of the Aborigines, unquote, and who, it turned out, accurately predicted the horrors of the forced migrations known collectively to history as the, quote, Trail of Tears, unquote, Jackson offered an archaeology lesson. Any, quote, melancholy reflections, unquote, were ahistorical, he said, because the Indians were neither innocent victims nor first peoples, but perpetrators of what Jackson's modern admirers might call white genocide, unquote. Jackson knew this because the evidence was everywhere in plain sight, in the monuments and fortifications of an unknown people. We behold the memorials of a once powerful race, unquote, said Jackson. Again, quoting, exterminated to make room for the existing savage tribes, unquote. And again, Guru Prabhupada of the Hare Krishna cult had something similar to say. This reference to a, quote, once powerful race, unquote, was not lost on the American public of 1830. Every schoolboy and girl knew it to be the lost race of the mound builders, believed to be the continent's original Caucasian inhabitants. From the colonial era into the 20th century, it was widely accepted that certain earthen structures and burial grounds proved the existence of, quote, white, unquote, or Indo-European peoples who settled North America, only to be wiped out by the arrival of Jackson's, quote, savage Asiatic tribes, unquote. In the early 1890s, the U.S. ethnologist Cyrus Vance discredited the theory in a series published by the Smithsonian Institution. But the idea of a pre-Columbian white genocide, unquote, never disappeared. It survived in subcultures influenced by the occult and Atlantis legends, which clung the theories of lost super-civilizations that, curiously, always seemed to be racially, quote, white, unquote. In recent decades, as evidence of a richer Paleo-American record than previously realized has come to light, Jackson's, quote, once powerful race, unquote, has found a new generation of boosters on the far right where fantasies of, quote, white genocide, unquote, distantly past and currently unfolding are an animating obsession. In the fractured and constantly cross-fertilizing galaxy of extremist conspiracy culture, the White Mound Builders, now known on the far right as the, quote, capital S-O-L-U-T-R-E-A-N-S of Solutreans, share a stage with other characters from an ancient and racially glorious but, quote, suppressed, unquote, past. Ancient Nordic-looking astronauts, biblical Aryan giants, Nazi scientists under the South Pole, and the occasional interdimensional alien in league with the Jews. The next section, alt history, goes pon-pon. Over the last decade, the History Channel has exploited and fueled the popularization of alternative archaeology or alt history. Numerous programs on the network showcase ideas that, while not explicitly racist or anti-Semitic, have origins in colonial projects and have been championed for reason by modern extremists. Numerous programs on the network showcase ideas that, while not explicitly racist or anti-Semitic, have origins in colonial projects and have been championed for a reason by modern extremists. Take America Unearthed, unquote, which aired between 2012 and 2015 on H2, a defunct History Channel network. That show's host, a geologist named Scott Walter, W-O-L-T-E-R, promoted theories that ancient Celts and Scots settled North America and hybridized Native Americans centuries before Columbus or ancient Celts. Anyway, that show's host, a geologist named Scott Walter, promoted theories that ancient Celts or Celts and Scots settled North America and hybridized Native Americans centuries before Columbus. The details can be found in Walter's contributions to Lost Worlds of Ancient America, a 2012 anthology edited by Frank Joseph, born Frank Collins, C-O-L-L-I-N, founder of the National Socialist Party of America. In 1993, following his expulsion from the party for, quote, impure blood, unquote, Collins became editor of Ancient American Magazine and has authored dozens of books dealing with ancient, quote, suppressed, unquote, history. In another episode, when the guest professes admiration for the Knights of the Golden Circle, a group of wealthy Southerners who sought to create a hemispheric slave empire, Walter just nods. Walter has denied that he or his ideas are racist and claims to be politically liberal. Whatever the personal politics of the host, these shows serve as vectors for racist ideas and scholarship, argues the independent scholar Jason Colavito, C-O-L-A-V-I-T-O, who has been tracking this cultural crossover and amplification of fringe history for years. In books like Foundations of Atlantis, Ancient Astronauts, and Other Alternative Pasts, Colavito explores and debunks many of the ideas promoted on the History Channel and far-right websites alike. And now, Elon Musk, and this has apparently been endorsed by Anna Paulina Luna. Help. Shows like America Unearthed, unquote, are heavily discussed on white nationalist alt-history forums, as well as general far-right political sites like Stormfront. They are routinely praised for introducing viewers to variations on the Solutrean hypothesis and raising the profile of racist pseudo-scholarship. Considering the H2 series In Search of Aliens, unquote, which, before its demise, promoted the work of Jan, J-A-N, Udo, U-B-O, Holy, capital H-O-L-E-Y, a German writer whose anti-Semitic books have been banned across Europe. Holy's pen name, Jan von Helsing, is a blunt Dracula reference, i.e., Jews are bloodsuckers. The History Channel's long-running series, Ancient Aliens, meanwhile, features David Childress, C-H-I-L-D-R-E-S-S, whose books cite and build on the work of James Churchward, C-H-U-R-C-H-W-A-R-D, who promoted an ancient empire called the Lost Continent of Mu, unquote, whose, quote, dominant race, unquote, was an, unquote, exceedingly handsome people with clear white or olive skin, unquote. And we'll leave it there. Again, I've been warning about this sort of thing, the use of, quote, UFOs, unquote. Again, if the Wambo Corporation can make a bloody disc-shaped airfoil that flies, and if the technology was being, aeronautical technology was being dedicated from the beginning of the invention of radar to developing aircraft that avoided right angles in the configuration of the airframe, only a moron, perhaps someone in the Trump administration, would think of the, wow, this must come from outer space. Wow, it's our brothers in space. Of course, that has been perpetrated. But watch out, folks. That is what is coming. Again, doing the best I can, but please get the new 64-gigabyte flash drive. We've had too much material for 32 gigs. It has all of my life's work printed and recorded. It has the brilliant comments by Tara Fractal on it. And it also has a mini library of old anti-fascist books. And as our civilization disintegrates and when you find yourselves living under the circumstances I have been predicting, and sadly I think that's going to be happening fairly soon, and people are going to be eating it raw, and they ain't going to get any satisfaction from the government. Then down come the UFOs, our brothers in space. Look! Up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's space aliens from Uranus. Remember, your brothers, your quote, brothers in space, unquote, aren't from space, and they ain't your brothers. Please get the 64-gigabyte flash drive. I get no money whatsoever from that. It's my life's work, and perhaps could be seen as proof positive that my worst critics are nuts, and that I'm not, because I'm not getting any money for my life's work. But anyway, there it is. You can get that for a small tax-deductible contribution. I get no money from that. Please get that, because at this point, it's either beat it or eat it, people. Either beat it or eat it. And again, it is just really very sad to me to see the JFK assassination community being drawn into the quicksand of the Anna Paulina Luna hearings. Very, very sad indeed. And I think ultimately that may very well lead to, wow, we've been visited by aliens. So that's where our alien technology comes. Wow, boy, gee whiz. Anyway, this concludes For the Record program number 1379. Team Trump Takes the Field, Part 5. This is being recorded on May 2nd of the year 2025. I'm Dave Emery. Have fun.